So I joined the Corps and went to boot camp on election day, the day Reagan took office.
Today I'm getting to interview someone that I've known for a very long time. We're like kindred spirits. Every time I see him, the vibration's really good. And he's going to be teaching me a lot today. He's going to be telling you a lot today about himself. And I'm sure he hasn't done that with a lot of people before, but he's granting me this privilege, telling me a lot about himself. He has one of the nicest looking fros that I've seen. And I know he's meticulous because I've seen his office. First of all, I saw his fro and I knew the man had to have his act together because you got to do that every day, right? Without any further ado, let's talk with Eric. Thank you so much for being on the podcast in your office, in your place, Black Tokyo. Now, I don't know if the air is going to be high enough for you to be able to see that, but above us is his podcast, right?
Yes.
It's called Black Tokyo.
Black Tokyo, yes. All my social media, Black Tokyo. And I want to say thank you. You've asked me a while back.
Actually, three years ago. Yes. I've been asking you all the time. You're always too busy. But I can see why you're busy.
Yeah, and my apologies.
Beautiful office.
Thank you. Thank you.
You got a liquor store, grocery store, liquor store downstairs.
A select shop. Yes.
Everything. You have that down there, and you got your car. I'm kicking it. Two beautiful sons.
Thank you.
Eric, my man. So let's start off with, where were you born?
Detroit, Michigan, Motown.
Motown?
Yes, Motown.
And you're keeping it alive and well, aren't you?
That's it. Hence the pro. Yes.
So what were you like growing up? Do you have a lot of siblings?
I'm an only child.
The only child?
Yes, yes. Mom, yes, only child.
Were you raised mom and dad all together?
Yes, and my mom got divorced, remarried eventually and everything, but I've always had a support system. Even when she was divorced, you know, my grandparents were there to help out my aunts, my uncles, my cousins. So although I was the only child, I have my three cousins, Ronnie, Donnie, and Tony. They're like my brothers.
And they're still
around. Ronnie passed away, actually, and he was the oldest of the three. And Tony and Donnie are still back in Detroit. But yeah, they're like my brothers. And, you know, a lot of friends, one of my best friends actually passed away, Kaynell. And, you know, just running around with that guy, there's just a lot of memory. So, you know, my childhood, I think, was very good.
Well, were you close to your father?
I would say yes and no. When I was younger, I was closer. As I got older and started forming opinions, I was, you know, not so close. Mm-hmm. And as I got older, you know, and he was always in my life. He was always there, always, you know, I would stay at, you know, at his house and he would take me places, teach me things, you know, things like that. When I was older, when I can drive a car, he gave me his car and I went down to, you know, Camp Lejeune, North Carolina.
Is he still with us?
No, he passed away as well. So my mom, my dad, my grandparents all passed away.
Well, they passed away.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so tell me, so growing up through school and stuff, were you more academic or were you more sports minded?
I would say both. I was small, you know, for my age and everything. And so, you know, very competitive. I'm competitive to this day. And I had speed and, you know, jumping ability and everything. So I would talk a lot of trash, you know, playing sports. Had a lot of kids wanting to beat me up because I was a trash talker. But, you know, I could back up, I think, for my play. Wasn't the best basketball player. Couldn't dribble. Still can't dribble to this day. And everything, but I would say I was more academic. And so I started high school at 13, started college at 16. And
at six, so you skipped a grade?
Yes. And could have skipped two grades. My mom said no.
What did your mom do? What kind of work did she do?
She, at that time, she was working as a cashier, I believe.
Okay.
And my mom didn't even finish high school.
Did she read to you a lot or anything? Or did she?
I would carry around a dictionary and encyclopedia, and people would give me a quarter if I can spell words correctly. And so
when
that
did
was.
You start that?
I think I was like 6, 7, 8.
If you can spell words correctly, they give you a quarter.
They give me a quarter, and so that was my thing. So I was Professor. That was my nickname. So I was Professor, and they would, you know, open a book, say this, and boom, I would spell it. But I carried, you remember the, I think it was Brown or Red Dictionary and Encyclopedia, that set? So my mom bought that set.
Right, okay.
And those were my toys. and everything. And I love to read, and so but the dictionary was it. Mm-hmm. And so outside of having the name Professor, I was teased and called White Boy because of language.
But it was predominantly Black school you went to.
No, my school was mixed, and I was called White Boy in elementary and junior high school. And so some people called me that.
Okay, well, the white kids were calling you that?
No, the brothers and sisters, you know. And it's
because you could articulate your words.
Right.
And you just say that and them.
Well, I mean, I did. You know, you pick your surroundings, right? And, and your audience and everything. Right. But that was my thing. I love to learn. And even though my mom didn't finish high school, she's one of the smartest women that I knew. Taught me a lot. You know, a lot about life, right? Mm-hmm. Just in general. And her hustle was real, you know, from the jobs that she held down and watching her, helping her when I was, I think, 9, when I started my business.
What was your business?
I used to sell plant seeds in the neighborhood. I would go door to door.
But how'd you come up with that idea? What made you decide you wanted to start selling plant seeds? Outside of getting money.
It was in the catalog. And, okay. You know, you cut the coupon out in the back and you mail it in and all that. So I got my first set of plant seeds and I sold that. And then there was another coupon or advertisement for shoes. So I went door to door selling shoes and started making a little bit of money and then, you know, cutting grass. And when I made, you know, some cash and could buy some tools, had my cousins helping me and then other kids in the neighborhood helping me.
And well, I figured, how'd you split it up? They'd help you.
How
much you get per grant? How much you get per lawn?
I think, so for example, if it was $3 a lawn, what was it? Or $3, $4, $5, whatever it was. But I think I kept probably 60%.
Okay.
Because I bought the tools and you know, yada, yada.
Right. Your lawnmower and everything right. else like that. And you got the job for them.
Right.
All and then
when it snowed, same deal. My cousins, my friends, and, you know, I broke them off. And then the complaint was on Sundays, you know, about taking, you know, something to church. So I love to bake. So I used to bake pies and cakes and cupcakes and used to sell those on Saturday so women can take them to church on Sunday. And so that was my hustle. You know, bought my bike, bought my clothes and everything. And it helps mom out, you know, as well. And so I've always liked to sell, always.
Sam, something to sell.
That's
so good. Okay, so you get into high school now and you start finding subjects you're really interested in.
Right.
Where did your interest start to go?
So I'm 16 in high school and business. So I majored in business. I wanted to be a cost accountant, actually.
Okay.
And my favorite teacher, George Cohen, this brother, man, he had the afro, all the suits, you know, the watch, the rings. It was like Niles Rogers from Chic. But this brother could dress. But he was the accounting teacher. And so he was the one, he told me, you get a job doing money, you'll always have a job. Right? And so that's what I wanted to do. And I was too small to play football, too small to play basketball. I ran track, JV, cross country and everything. I wanted to sprint. But anyway, because of size, mainly, and I was not so much ability, I think, but because of size, couldn't do those things. So I focused more on academic side.
Okay.
Joined the pre-law club, and then I wanted to become a lawyer because I like law. And I mean, to this day, I read law, right? And so shifted from wanting to be an accountant to a lawyer and ended up graduating and started college the next day. Wayne State University, same college as Dr. Suzuki Lorraine.
Is that right?
Right.
And you didn't meet her then?
No, I met her when I went. I was up in Yokota, and I was hired. I mean, of course, ability, but same high
same
school,
alumni,
same college.
She went to the same high school, same college.
Yes.
She was the sweetest she could be. I really like Lorraine.
Yeah, Cass Tech is at the time was the number one school in Detroit. There's still that rivalry. You know, Detroit people that, you know, go to Cass. A lot of famous people came out of Cass and everything. And so, you know, I left Cass, went to Wayne State, and I had a scholarship.
So you stayed in Cass for 2 years?
I graduated Cass 4 years.
Four years, okay.
Right. And so
in what,
high school. Yeah, business.
Well, that was a high school, so you did that in business.
Right.
Then you went to college.
Right, went to Wayne State, which is in Detroit. And so I also had a scholarship to go to New Mexico Military Institute, and it was a 2-year program. And when you graduate, you're commissioned as a second lieutenant. And so I would have been 19 as a lieutenant. And my father was like, that is not going to happen. And so he was a Korean War and Vietnam War vet. He was 82nd.
Ooh, why it was not going to happen?
The age. He served in the Army. He served in the Korean War. So he's right. Like, no, not just not going
to
happen.
Well, he didn't want you to do it because he thought you were too young.
Yes.
That's the only reason.
Yes.
But you actually could have done it.
Yes. Yes.
But he was enlisted the whole time.
He was enlisted, 82nd Airborne and everything. And
was it partially jealousy? Are you showing?
Nothing like that. I think it was more just looking out, you know,
looking out for
a son.
But you're still an officer.
True. And I think it's more of what he went through, you know, during NAM and everything. And then coming back in Detroit, the riot, you know, the 67?
He was
riots.
In NAM. He was in NAM?
He was in NAM, yes.
Well, how old would he be now if he was still alive? Do you know? How old was he when he passed?
He'll be 80 something.
Okay. So he's right. 10 years. About 10 years.
Yeah. But he was like, no, that's not going to happen. So I'm like, you know, okay. Cool. And so I told my mom, hey, I'm going to join the Marine Corps. And so I used to go down to the recruiting station when I was 16 and help out, right? And Steve Massey was the recruiter. And this guy, a big white guy, man, just looked like he was from the corn-fed, you know, white guy. So I'm talking to him and everything. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to join the Corps. So took the papers home to my mom because she had to sign because I was 17. And she's like, no, that's not going to happen. And I'm like, I'm just going to do a tour and I promise you I'll come back. So she had to sign. I had to do the form for the sole surviving son and all of that. Mm-hmm. And so I joined the Corps and went to boot camp on election day. Day Reagan took office.
Because actually, you didn't have to go in at all.
Right.
Right. Because right. There was no draft at all during your time.
Not that time.
And you wanted to go. You didn't want to practice law or become a cost accountant or anything like that. You said, I'm going to go in this. You wanted to become mature. Your father's probably telling you need to do the military. I'm just guessing.
No, that wasn't in my ear. Okay. The reason I joined the Marine Corps is so I could go to Japan.
Wait, you joined the Marine Corps because you wanted to come to Japan?
That's it.
So when you talked to your recruiter, you said, look, can I get to Japan?
I asked him, yes. And he's like, yeah, we have duty stations in Japan, Okinawa, right? So we have duty stations in Japan and everything. And I saw the movie Shogun, and that piqued my interest. And I started reading, you know, James Clavell's novels, you know, Taipan and Shogun, you know, yada, yada. And that was one of the reasons. And,
but none of the martial arts and stuff had anything to do.
Now, I took Taekwondo in the Marine Corps. I think a little summer program for the Police Athletic League in Detroit. Mm-hmm. But that was, you know, when Bruce Lee was hot, everyone walked around in their shoes and nunchucks. And I'm knocking myself out of my roommate. Man, I still remember doing this. And then the nail came off. Yeah, I remember all that. I was that stupid kid also. Yeah. You know, so still remember me and my friend Kanell, man. I remember all of that.
Bruises and stuff, and hit you in the side and everything
that's
else.
It. Yeah, elbow. Every brother knew karate back then.
Right.
Everybody knew karate.
Well, see, I did it at a time when everybody did it, and we had platform shoes.
I remember those. Yeah.
And the instructor I had when I was in Puerto Rico taught us. He wouldn't teach us how. He taught us how to defend, but he said, "I'm only going to teach you lethal moves."
Wow. Okay.
And that's what we did. And so when we went into competition, we were only allowed to block.
Wow.
He only says, but we could block in a way that would hurt.
Right.
So like if we came down with a downward block, we'd want to hit you right in your leg.
Right.
But we'd be blocking. If we came this way, we'd try to pull you in.
Yeah.
And so the guys didn't want to hit.
Right.
They want to come in. So we were hitting you with our blocks.
Nice.
But he taught us that only lethal moves. He said you should leave a person one or two ways. Either they should be still or they should be in convulsions.
Mm.
And he said, the worst creature on this planet to wound is a human being.
Human being, that's right.
He said, don't wound him. He said, if you ever have to use this, use it to do what you got to do.
Right.
So he said, no need to teach you all these katas, which we had to do a few.
Right, right.
Basically. But he said, I want to teach you how to do what you're going to need to do. It's like having a gun.
Right, survival. You know, when I was younger, like when my mom, we moved from our neighborhood. I live on a street called Indiana. And you know, it was for me. It was great. You know, the people on the block and everything, and I would hang out with these kids, man. Floyd and Edward, and just you know, Tim. I just a lot of great memories and everything. But then I moved over.
How old were you when you moved?
I was 13.
Oh, wow.
Right when I was starting high school. And I would get jumped a lot. And
went to the new place.
The new place, yeah.
Well, why was that? Was this a different area?
I had no crew. I didn't know anyone over there. You know, back
so,
in
so
Indiana,
they wanted to make sure they wanted to make a point.
Yeah, I had, you know, there's, you know, my guys, the older kids, Rocky and Marlon, Derek and Leonard and all these guys, man. When I had, like, when my bike was stolen or something happened, they would go after dudes, you know, and right. everything. So, it was, I didn't have any of that when I moved over to my new spot and everything. Right. So, I got jumped and I got cut from right the corner of my eye across this way. And
with what?
Fingernail. This girl jumped me first, and then her cousins. Yeah, she
wait,
was
wait,
huge.
Wait. They were just,
she was huge.
They were just treating you bad, man. That's bad.
Yeah, it was.
Can I make you feel a little bit better?
What's that?
Because in elementary school, Wendy the Witch used to chase me home all the time, and she would say, "Run, spaghetti legs, run."
Wow.
Because I just yeah. like the beneath.
Yeah, I got chased home before, you know, and everything from elementary school because I was protecting this girl, and her name was. Her last name was Jones,
mm-hmm.
and a white girl, and she was one of, you know, three, wasn't many, at this particular school, but I remember I was a safety boy, and I went out, and I protected, I said, leave her alone, and I got my butt beat. You like the white girl, you're protecting the white girl, and, you know, so got beat up, got chased, ran down the street toward the store my mom worked and everything. And I remember I ran, I grabbed the door, and I opened the door. And she's like, what's wrong? I said, they're trying to beat me up. And she's like, get out there and fight. And I was like, right, well, she didn't know how many people were out there, right? And so she came out from behind the remember the plexiglass, right?
Yeah, yeah,
and she's like, get out there and fight. And I went out, and the kids were looking. And then she's like, which one? And I'm like, that one. She's like, fight them. And I fought.
Did
right?
you win?
No.
I
win.
Did your mother have to pull them off for you?
Nope. She watched the kid, and she's like, but stop, right? So I went in the store, cleaned up, went back outside. I think I bought some Fritos or something. Went up back outside, and they chased me, I think, two or three more blocks. But two or three more blocks is where my crew was, the safety boys were. And so once I made it to Cherry Line, then it was on. And we were out
they
there.
They were there? They were there?
We were fighting just out there on the corner of Cherry Line. And Miss Felton, who was in charge of the
guard. And you're 13,
the guard,
14,
I was, I think, 10 at that time.
Okay, 10.
But the 13, when I was 13, when I got jumped and got cut, I went, I don't even know if I should say this on YouTube, but
I'll leave it in.
Right, so right. I went and got an ink pen and I got a razor. And I remember I melted it and
right.
I put it and then I taped it. And I got a stick and some fishing line and I taped that and I put a weight on it and I rolled it up. So next day I went to school, came home and they were there. And they're like, there he is. And I remember I reached in my pocket, had the stick like this, the weights on it, the pin dropped. So I had a razor, basically like that on a stick. And because I used to pretend I was Thor when I was younger.
Right, right, right.
And first kid came and I just went whoosh, and cut. And then second kid, no, and then it was like, ah! And I just doing this and the circle, like, they just scattered. And then after that, I became the crazy little kid on the block. And they left me alone. So that is what I had to do to get them to stop. Yeah, so that was me at 13, man. But I stopped getting jumped, you know, where I lived and everything. And, you know, went through school. And I love my school, Cass Tech. You know, great memories there and everything. And when I got to Wayne and then joined the Marine Corps, it was, you know, on the plane, Northwest Airlines, Ronald Reagan, you know, your next president of the United States. And I was like, Reagan, you know? And... So we get there, training the boot camp, and all of a sudden things shifted. We started prepping to go to Iran, right? So our training changed, right? So remember all of that. I'm like, Iran? That was Iran, you know, and all that. So yeah, so I ended up graduating, didn't get the job, the MOS that I wanted. And I remember I was in the squad bay, and I was just pissed.
What did they put you in?
I was selected to be a warehouseman, a forklift driver, and a warehouseman.
This
1980, right? So I'm like, hold on. So I'm 13 in school, in high school. I'm coding, writing codes.
They didn't use
programming code. At 13, and then they put me in. Nothing wrong with being in a warehouse, But I'm just thinking,
no, I know.
I'm coding and you put me in a warehouse.
Because you know
it. I know why. Right? Yeah, yeah.
Well, the thing is, I was supposed to be an in-flight refueler. Me and this one, we had the second best orders in the Air Force in our squadron. One guy had crypto,
right,
which is intelligence.
Oh, yeah.
And then I got in-flight refueling, and he got Abernathy, two of us, and the orders are this thick. Right. He's going to spend some money on us.
Right.
A week after we got the orders, I'm sorry, your orders have been redlined, and Abernathy's have to be redlined as well.
Wow.
And I said, what's for? They said, they can't give you any reason. There's no reason. You're redlined. But you can have anything in civil engineering or jet engines one or two. So you're saying I can either be deaf or I can be a carpenter or plumber.
Right.
That's what you're telling me. Or roads and grounds or something else.
Right.
You're talking about just because I already sent those orders to my dad,
right,
everybody, and I'm so, look at this. I ended up being a carpenter in the Air Force.
Mm.
You know, but that was, it's not bad. And I'm not against all that. It's just not what I didn't want to be in the service in the first place. It was me. I got a draft notice, so I enlisted in the Air Force, which you have to actually take a test to get in.
Right.
And I was one of two that got in.
Wow.
The test, they had guys around there. I'm not going to say what they looked like. You know, right. but anyway, I got in. I guess they scored on a bell curve. But I was shocked. We passed the test.
The Air Force is hard. Yeah. We always say smart people go to the Air Force.
Listen, no joke. It's the most civilian branch of the military you can get in. I remember a guy, grunts coming in. They were in the Army, but from Nam, they were coming to our base in Puerto Rico for R&R.
Right.
And one cat, I remember him taking off his shoes and showing me how it looked like his toes were all together. From being out there in the swamp so much. And he saw my room, which must have looked like this compared to where he lived.
Had hotels.
He said, is this your room? I said, yeah. By yourself? I said, yeah, because I'm here every month all the time and I don't have to have a roommate. He said, man, you got poop. He couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
Lights going like this, music playing. Yeah. They couldn't believe
how. That was me going to Osan the first time and seeing that. I freaked out. I was like, when I saw it, we all call them dorms, hotel rooms. I don't know what you call them, but when, you know, because I
don't want you guys to get used to anything.
I'm at Camp Hansen in Okinawa.
You know? Is that right?
So the first, I jump. So,
okay.
I'm a supply warehouseman, right? And I go to supply warehousing school, which is in the middle of the Mojave Desert.
Okay. Right
at Barstow, California, and I'm telling the guys, I'm like, I'm gonna fail my final test, my final prac. And they're like, what? He had to drive a forklift, so I didn't have a driver's license yet. So I'm doing, you know, I'm number one, number two in the class and everything. Not putting much effort. It's not hard, right? And so they're like, all right, Robinson, it's your turn. So I get on the forklift, like, boom, 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 go up. And I get to the rack, and I raise the fork, and I hit the rack, and you hear this. I backed it up, and then you heard, shit, he's going to do it. So I went for it again, hit the rack, and it's like. Then look at the gunny, and boom, hit it. The rack falls over, right? Knocked everything out. Back it up, put it in the park, turn off the engine, put it in the park, and I jump off, get in a position of attention, and gunny's like, God damn it, Robinson. He's like, you pass. And I'm like, right? And so the Marines fell out. And I'm just like, oh, my God. He's like, you pass. And so I became a forklift operator and a warehouseman. And when we got our orders, I had orders to Camp Pendleton, California. Right? And I did not want to go to California. I wanted to go to Japan. But the guy next to me, who wasn't a rocket scientist, he had orders to Okinawa. And so I'm like, where are you going? He's like, Okinawa? I said, that's the rock. He's like, what's the rock? I said, man, that's in the middle of nowhere. He's like, what? He said, this is Japan. I'm like, nope, not Japan. It's in the middle of nowhere. I said, no one wants to go there. He said, where are you going, Robbie? And I'm like, I'm going to California, baby, sunny California. He's like, oh, I got peoples in California. I'm like, what? I said, really? I said, look, man, I'm an only child. You know, if you got family back there, maybe you want to be near your family. So if you want to switch, why don't you go and.
You guys can do that?
At that time. Okay. I said, if you want to switch, why don't you just, you know, tell, why don't you tell Gunny, but don't tell him it's me, right? Don't tell him it's me. And so he goes over and he comes back. He's like, Gunny said he doesn't give a damn what we do. We can switch. So we switched orders because there are no names on them.
There's no names on the orders?
At that time, there's no names on them. So we switched. And so I got to go to Okinawa, right? So I went in the head, man. I'm like, you know, doing the dance and everything. I'm going to Japan. And so that's how I got my orders to Japan.
Yeah. And how long did you stay over here?
So there were 1 year orders. I went command recruiting.
Well, only 1 year? I thought it was 2 years if you're single.
This is 1981.
This is 81. Mine were 2 years when I came over here. In the Air Force.
Yeah, so I had 1 year orders. I went to command recruiting, 1 year orders, and then I went to New River, North Carolina, Marine Corps Air Station there, and I wanted to get back to Japan. And so I talked my way into getting orders back to Japan, and I think 3 months later, and I got caught, and they're like, nope, not going to happen. You will stay here. So I'm like, damn. And so one day during lunch, saw an advertisement that said, do you want to learn a language? And I went, yeah, I want to learn a language. And so I went over to Camp Lejeune, and it was actually an interview for the interrogation translation teams. And so I got set up for an interview, and I remember light green Marine, white Marine, he asked me, he's like, how do you feel about being the only dark green Marine in the unit? And I'm looking at him, and there's a gunny, Johnson, dark green. And so he's looking at me, I'm looking at him, looking at the master sergeants. I'm like, how do you feel about me being a dark green Marine in the unit? Right? And so like gunny put his head down like this. And so the master sergeant and the gunnies, they didn't say anything. So it's next question. And so I get out of there and I pass. And I had orders, I think 2 or 3 weeks later. And I would report it to Camp Lejeune to the interrogation translation unit. And so my thinking is, I'm gonna get back to Japan. That was it. So I got placed on the Arabic interrogation team, Arabic language interrogation team. And so I started learning the modern standard Arabic and had some issues with it. One, I wasn't motivated, right? So they put me on the Asian team. So Chinese was the next language. So I started studying Chinese, but I had a hard time with the tones. So that wasn't good to go. But Korean was perfect for me. So just the tones, I learned the alphabet, you know, and I think in the day, I learned the Hangul.
Right, so 26 letters, yeah, something like that.
Yeah, so I learned how to read and write Hangul in a day and everything. And I had already been working on kanji because of Japanese that I studied when I was in Okinawa. And so we had got orders and we were going to Beirut. My team was going to Beirut. And so I went home on leave and day I was leaving the report back, my mother called, you know, from the port. She's like, hey, somebody named Gunny's on the phone. I'm like, hey, what's up, Gunny? He's like, report back to Camp Lejeune. I'm like, but I'm heading. He's like, nope, report back to Camp Lejeune. So I report back, and it's like, you're not going to Beirut. You're going to Defense Language Institute in Monterey, California. I'm like, but I want to go to Beirut, right? So this is my chance to interrogate, right? And so I reported to Monterey. So I'm there a couple of weeks later, get a Red Cross gram, and it's like Staff Sergeant walks up in the classroom. He's like, hey, go call your mommy. I'm like, what? He's like, go call your mother. And so that day is the day when the Beirut bombing occurred and the Marine, right? So she thought I was in Beirut with my team.
I bet.
Oh, man. It was.
That's when you start believing there's more than just what we see. Right. You know, out there. You think there's got to be something else.
Yeah.
And we all are on missions, yep. You know, so
yep. You never know. I would have been in Beirut with my team. And so that messed me up. I remember sitting in class and I was just,
Did anybody in your team get messed up?
Not on my team, but I believe in the counterintelligence team, there was one person, if I remember correctly. Yeah. It was horrible. And, you know, the Marines, of course, were stunned. Everyone was stunned, but me in particular was very stunned because I knew a couple of weeks ago I could have been there.
That's right.
And everything. And so anyway, so I graduated from that, went to interrogation school afterwards and then reported back to Okinawa, Camp Hansen. And that began my journey on me, you know, deep diving to Japan. And I would, of course, go back and forth to Korea, went to college in Korea, all that. That began the journey.
Now what we're going to have to do is, I'm going to stop this podcast. Yep. I'm going to wrap this up. But I want to do another one with you called Success in Japan.
Okay.
Because we're going to have to talk about what you've done and how you've achieved your success here. You have rocked the house.
Thank you.
So there's a question I'd like to ask before I end.
Yes.
Before I end the podcast. Knowing what you know now, if you could go back in time
yes.
and meet the younger Eric
mm-hmm.
and give him advice, How old would he be, and what advice would you give him?
He'd be 25, and the advice would be, don't get married young.
That's enough for me, man.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
I want to thank all of you for watching this. Never forget, it's all on loan, so continue to reach for the stars.
Because you're too blessed to be stressed.